Ripple Effect. This is the Empowering Youth Podcast from Building Utah Youth, a nonprofit organization established in 2007 to provide powerful leadership training to the youth of our communities. And now, here's your host, by board member, co-owner of Rapport International, and certified trainer, Brett Johnston.
Hello, and welcome back to the Empowering Youth Podcast. I'm Brett Johnston.
I'm JJ Chinowski.
Hey, Jeff Gattano here.
And tonight we have a very special guest and a very, very special guy. One of my favorite people on the planet. Honored to call him a friend, Casey Kawaguchi. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Who else we have, Casey?
Glad to be here. So we got my beautiful, awesome, intelligent, athletic,
yeah,
smart,
yeah,
keep funny, going,
yeah,
short and awesome.
Only in height, bro. Only in height, short.
Yeah,
that's the only. Yeah.
Anyways, beautiful Shaylee Kawaguchi.
Woo!
Yeah. Welcome, Shaylee.
Did you have to add short into that one?
Well, it helps you stand out.
He's kind of one of those guys that goes for the easy target. So it's an obvious thing. That's why I had to point out it's only short in height. Yeah. Everything else, you are not short at all.
No.
No.
I love that.
So welcome. We're excited to have you.
Yes.
We've got a lot to talk about.
Okay.
Yeah. So where do you want to start talking?
We can start from the beginning.
Let's do it.
Well, I was born and bred here in Utah. I grew up in Hooper. I also did live in Wyoming for a bit. And that's kind of just, I only remember really anything from Wyoming to start with.
So Hooper was a little early in the memory bank. You just know you were there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When did we leave Wyoming realistically?
Probably 2007.
Yeah, so I would say my earliest memories were really from Wyoming. And I mean, that was Egbert, Wyoming, BFE. You got, your nearest neighbor was a mile away.
Yeah, it was paradise, according to Casey.
Well, it was good winters.
Yeah.
Nobody around.
Good winters.
Yeah, a lot of mice.
Sorry, where's Egbert, Wyoming? Is that by like where?
Egbert's 20 to 30 miles west of the Nebraska border off I-80.
It's right next to Pine Bluffs and Cheyenne. It's literally in between.
I went for a vacation there last year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for you.
So this is actually the first time I'm meeting both of you. So you came from Wyoming, and Casey, are you a Utah native your whole life?
Yeah. So I was born and raised in Utah. Grew up, majority of my time was out in Hooper, and then went to a few different high schools, ended up moving to Wyoming. Doing some high school there, and then moving back probably when I was 17, and then went to Fremont, graduated from there, and then
which was a big deal.
Yeah.
But, is that where both of you met?
Well, this is gonna be a good story.
Oh yeah, it gets better.
Yeah, so soon, very soon.
So no, I met her at 20 years old. She was 2. And I don't know. We just started this awesome path. And anyways, when I met her and her mom, I moved back to Wyoming to take a job doing government remodeling. And I've been in construction for, you know, since I got out of high school. But, and then we ended up moving back in 2007 and jumped on with Big D in 2008
And that's where we met.
Yep, that's where I met Brett.
I mean, I think back to that time, and it feels like a short time ago. It was like that fast. And Shaylee's like, yeah, that's as far back as I can remember. But you were 2 when you know, your dad met you. And I think about that because, you know, how would I say this respectfully? Probably one of the best, if not the best thing that ever happened to Casey in his life, for sure.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I got in quite a bit of trouble with the law and I had a lot of fun friends to hang out with and meeting her mom was probably what humbled me, her mom and Shay. It's probably what humbled me to what I am today. Actually, it is the reason I am the way I am today.
Yeah. I hoped you'd kind of get focused. Yeah.
Yeah.
That there was more than you.
Yeah. It's something about responsibility. It was really good for me. In fact, it was better for me than it was for them, without a doubt. So
what was a teamwork team effort?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But I want you to kind of dive into that for a moment of what it was like to meet Shaylee.
Oh dude. So I had this 99 Dodge, and yeah, it was pretty cool. You know, I was lifted and it was good looking, and anyways, just met her mom, and you know, she always sat in the car seat, kind of in the passenger seat, and then her mom would sit in the middle, and we just cruise around. You know, we had some friends that lived out in Corinne, and we used to hang out there quite a bit, and Shaylee just had these little pigtails, and her mom dressed her up real cute, you know, leather boots, and she had a lot of sass back then. I mean, she's probably got about the same amount now, but she's got it more under control.
Yeah. She knows. She knows now.
Yeah. But no. And I don't know. It's just where it started. And then we just moved up to Wyoming
so what did that do for you guys to move to Wyoming?
Oh, it put us real close together. I mean, you know, she's got an older brother named Jordan. You know, his biological dad lived in, Alabama. Was it in Alabama where his dad lived at the time?
Again, I was two. I don't know what you want me to say to this.
Anyway, so he every other weekend he'd be at his grandparents' house, but when we moved up there, you know, we ended up doing the whole summer things and whatnot, but you know, so it was real tough for the kids. But growing up in a small town like that and not many kids in school, they just learned manners and respect and hard work. And you know, my mom had kind of a ranch, you know, quite a bit of animals, and you know, they raise sheep and goats and horses and cows, and I'm mean, like she was saying, I mean, the closest house was a mile away, at least a mile away. I mean,
so your mom lived up there?
Yeah, she moved up there. So my mom's adopted dad, actually, or sorry, my mom's dad. I'm just going to call him my mom's dad.
Love it.
He grew up in Washington, but I don't know where it all fell in line with that whole history. But anyways, he ended up settling up there, and she wanted to be closer to her dad. So I would say when I was 16 is when she had moved up there, and had met a gentleman named Steve, and he was real good dude. And they, you know, they stayed married for quite some time. Like I said, I needed to come back to Utah because that's where my friends were. And like I said, I wasn't doing too good in high school in those days. Anyways, moved back here. And then I decided to move back up there because of a job offer that I'd got.
And it just kind of made sense. But how did you end up going together?
You know,
that's one of those skinny branches.
Yeah.
You know, life stories, like you turn around and it just makes sense.
Because nonchalant, he's but like, and then all of a sudden we moved.
Yeah, but it didn't make all the sense. It was kind of a
Wyoming,
a lot of risk taking happening.
Right. Yeah. So I had quite a few friends that were just like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
This girl's got two kids. Why are you doing this? I mean, you're who we call when we want to go out and have a good time. And, you know, and I just, you know, I was getting,
you were
all
being
that,
called.
Yeah. Right. I was getting all that pushback. And then, you know, I was really enjoying, you know, my wife and kids. And I mean, not, a, you know, they weren't at the time, obviously, but I was just like, I get away from it. And this opportunity fell in, and I just went home and I told Shaylee, I says, hey, this is like on a Thursday. And I said, hey, well, I'm going to take this job in Wyoming. I'm moving to Wyoming.
Do you want to go?
Do you want to go? And she's like, what do you mean? Who's
in Wyoming? What are we doing in Wyoming?
Yeah. When are you going? I said, I'm leaving this weekend. And she's like, well, why are you doing, you know, this ain't normal. Why would you just come home and say this to me? And I'm just, it's what I'm doing. It's okay if you don't, it's okay if you do, I would like you to. And then 2 weeks later, I went up, started that job. 2 weeks later, come down, picked up her and the kids, and we just moved up there and
off they went.
And with faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
Faith
made it. We made it up there for what? 2.5 years, 3 years.
Wow.
There's a lot of trust involved with something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she'd gotten to a head on wreck with the kids on the freeway on I-80 and at like 70 something miles an hour. And
on the way up.
Right. And I was working at, no, this was after we'd been there for a couple of years. And then she got into a wreck and I needed to move home because she broke her femur and the boy had it's like 6 inches of his intestines come through his ribs. And Shay had a little scratch on her finger.
Can you show that?
It was traumatic though.
Yeah. It's literally the inside of my middle finger. So.
She's like this, JJ. She's like, it's right there, JJ.
Right here, JJ.
Yeah.
And so I just moved home and just found a job with a local framer and was framing houses. And dude, we just fell behind and ended up moving back to Utah, moved in with her parents. And like I said, I started with Big D in 2008 and
we're just started growing some roots.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
But I think when you guys moved up there together, it really kind of helped you come together.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's all you have.
Yep.
It's all you have.
Lean on each other.
Right. It's all you have. It's just us. So
Shay, you remember that a little bit being in Wyoming?
Yeah, I would say so. I mainly remember screwing around with the horses or the lambs or whatever.
It was
whatever.
The animals.
Yeah, basically. Yeah,
that's a natural thing for kids.
Or the rattlesnake sitting in the pen. There was that experience where Jordan got the rattle after you guys killed it and all this other stuff.
Those are definitely highlights.
I don't remember that as a child. Do you, Jeff?
Oh, for sure, man. The rattlesnake rattles?
No, those are dangerous.
Defining moment. Yes. Jay, defining moment. So you guys moved back here because being there was kind of a figment of your imagination. You remember the animals and whatnot. That was a big, big shift in who Casey was.
Oh, yeah.
Right. But you come back and when you come back, things are a little bit different. So let's hear the story moving forward from moving back.
Just started Big D. We ended up buying our first home there in Roy, right by Walkwest.
That's actually inaccurate. It was Rocky Mountain.
Rocky Mountain. Yeah. That's right, in Roy. Sorry. Sheila was working with Tramcor at the time. She'd got a job at Tramcor and I want to say you was in elementary and Jordan was in junior high during that time.
Yeah, when we moved out of Ken and Cheryl's place, Jordan was in middle school and I was still in elementary school. So you guys would take me to elementary school and grandma and grandpa would pick me up and I would stay there until one of you guys would get off of work.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. And then, I don't know, went hard at Big D.
Went hard at life.
Right. Right.
So this is the time period when, you know, you guys are figuring out the family, right?
Right.
Marriage, family, building a life, all those things.
Oh, that's right. We're still dating at that time.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. We're still dating at that time. And it had its ups and its downs and we started getting back together with friends from before we'd moved. And, you know, like I said, everybody's life's changing. Everybody's buying houses. Everybody's got getting cool stuff and new trucks I don't know, man, it was just, we went hard. And then I guess we should say, you know, Aiden come in 2011.
Yep.
A year later, I had proposed to Sheila probably 4 years after we'd met and we didn't get married until September 29th of
2012.
And so Aiden was born in 2011.
Coming up on 13 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't you remember the little like red wagon thing you guys pushed him down the aisles with? Cause you wanted to at least wait for a year.
Yeah. She was so pissed. She was so pissed. She's like, why, you know, just cause it's perfect day at that, you know, for Sheila on the back then. And so then we ended up buying the house over in Far West and then made it a Big D for 13.
Now you know how your dad's mind works.
It's pretty straightforward. It's fine.
It is. And he's also a very emotional guy, which is why he compartmentalizes a lot of things. Cause there's definitely been some big moments for him. That's why we want to spend a lot of time unpacking you tonight. Mm-hmm. So you remember this transition moving back home. You remember the transition of, you know, getting into the first home. What was childhood like in elementary and stuff for you? The family, everything else?
No, everything was really good. I mean, you know, we kind of bounced around. So like you're in a new environment. You're like, oh, well,
new environment.
Let's figure this out, I guess. And he's right. Like you just kind of have to keep moving forward with the whole thing. Or what are you going to do? Just sit there and think about it. And mind you, I was so little and it really, really just didn't matter.
You were along for the ride.
Yeah. I was just there.
Did you feel like you had a normal family?
Yeah. I mean, like, I didn't know I was adopted at all, period. I just was like, this is my dad.
This is your dad. This is your family. Mm-hmm. This is what we do. This is what we're doing. We do it together. Your dad's there for things when he can be there. Because I know when your dad says we were going hard, that means that they were working a lot, both of them. Yeah. Your mom and your dad were working hard.
Yeah, no. Before we had moved into the Roy house, or even afterwards, like I was with my grandparents quite a bit. Just because of the fact like they would take me to school. And then after school, I'd be at my grandparents' house until they would pick me up and let's go back home. And then that's just kind of how my days were.
Those are some of the biggest things you could be grateful for in your life.
You know,
the opportunity to do that.
You know, Sheila was amazing. I mean, I spent 3 years out of town during those times. And so she was balancing wrestling. She was balancing football. She was balancing soccer. She was balancing a full-time job. She was balancing a newborn child and work and doing it all.
Yeah.
Doing it all. And yeah, we used to have some great
super moms.
Yeah, dude, amazing. I can't tell you how amazing she's a goddess.
You wonder why there's certain things that she just doesn't care about.
Yeah.
Some people may go, I just don't understand how she couldn't care about something like that. And it's like, maybe you ought to live a few days in her shoes and you'd understand why there are just some things that just don't matter because there are so many other things that do matter.
Right. I mean, just God, all the cooking and the dinners. I struggle with it now and there's only two at home and she, you know, she gave up the majority of the cooking, you know, about a year after Aiden was born. Cause I'd moved back home and,
she's like, you're up.
Yep. She's like, it's your turn. But I mean, when it come to the sports, I mean, we was constantly separated because we had soccer.
And you got divide and conquer.
Yeah, dude, it was great.
Yeah.
I'd do it again, except for I'd probably add two more kids.
Wow.
No. No. Okay. I was joking when I asked for another sibling and then I got surprised. Okay. Don't get me wrong. I love him, but like I was joking.
Yeah. It's funny when your kids talk about their siblings. It's like, yeah, I love them. And for a while there, I don't think I liked them too much. Kind of a little territorial about things and the relationships that were and all that. And all of a sudden the tension's going here and I've got to share this time and attention. And yeah,
I wouldn't actually say that. For the most part, because realistically, Aiden was so young and I was going through middle school and everything like that. So to me, it was just this small human that wants to be with me 90% of the time.
How sweet.
And yes. It was fine. It's not until now where he's a preteen and he wants to act all tough and he wants to play fight that I'm like, I might kill you. Like you might end up on the ground.
I love it. So this age here, that's really where you start to shift. I mean, those teenage years, that's when you kind of go in from being like naive, if you will, to things that are just are, to like, you really start to compare. You start to see your life in reference to someone else's life. You start to compare, you know, the things that you're doing and you compare them to others and your looks and all these things you're comparing.
Oh yeah. When I want to say like, when you first start seventh grade, it's kind of like, oh, who are you?
Yeah.
What do you do?
And who am I now?
Yeah, it's pretty much.
Yeah.
Or you got this better thing than I do.
Mm-hmm.
Why does that bug me? Or you look, why do you not have acne? Why do I have a crap ton and you don't? Or so, yeah, it definitely. And when you're a middle school girl too, appearances are so big. If you don't look the nicest or have the coolest thing, it was just so odd. And it was almost like you got praised if you had it and you got almost shamed if you didn't.
Well, that's something that I would say for girls, especially. I mean, boys have their own thing, and it's usually with their height and their size, and acne can be a big one, and lots of those types of things. For girls, though, it's such an awkward age when they're growing into who they are as a young lady and they're developing. Everything's uncomfortable for them. There's so much changing.
I don't want to detract us too much, but this is an interesting story, because when I was visiting my family home over the holidays, my nephew is 10 years old, and his whole thing now is that he wants a phone because he's afraid he's going to get bullied in middle school.
Wow.
Apparently the kids tease each other.
If you don't have a phone.
If you just have an iPad and you don't have a phone, you get called an iPad kid.
Oh, yeah. Or what's the other, the smaller version? Yeah. Anyways, Diesel had one. That's the only reason I know about it. It's like the size of a phone, but it's not an actual phone.
But how are your friends?
Whatever.
Shayla's laughing over here. How are your friends in seventh grade? Did you have a good group of friends at that time?
I would say I had a good group, at least to start with, for sure. But when you go into middle school, you don't hang out with the same people anymore. You got seven classes. You have all different people. You're trying to learn how to communicate with one another.
You're not trying to. You're learning to.
Learning to, yeah.
Yes, thank you, Brett.
You're learning to communicate with all these new people. And it's not like your childhood friend that you were stuck with for 6 years of your life. Now you need to move on and either try to stay with some of these people or completely change your friend group.
Well, everybody's figuring out who they are to some degree. They're really starting to figure it out. Yeah. But like you said, not stuck with this. Isn't the next door neighbor that you just play with. Mm-hmm. You figure out you have different likes and desires and, you know, the sports you're playing or the academics that you enjoy. You just start figuring out a little bit more of who you are.
Oh, yeah.
Did you have just that one friend, though, at night? They would call, you would call them. Did you have a boyfriend at that time? No. Look at, she's laughing. You guys can't see this.
But that's a hard no.
No.
Well, that's a hard no, JJ.
I got it.
Yeah.
Well, because at that point in time, that was not my concerns. Okay.
Yeah.
I was more concerned with what is going on around me. And I did have my older brother. So he's completely in a different stage where he's kind of solidified the group of people he's going to hang out with. And he's like, I want nothing to do with you. Go figure your life out. I'm like, okay, well,
I got it.
And that's totally
sounds
fine.
Sounds like an older brother.
Yeah, it does.
And, you know, again, with girls, it was just a little bit harder to try to figure out.
To figure out
creating those friend groups versus boys, where they were like, if I'm stronger than you or we're about the same strength, height, or whatever physicality, we can be best friends. I'm going to fight you today, but I'll be your friend right afterwards.
Yes.
Yeah.
And boys. So that was so weird to see the different dynamics and just changes in that aspect as
and
well.
And girls can change so fast, and they're usually smaller friend groups.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So how old were you when you were given the gift, I'll say that, of getting to learn about Casey?
I'm going to ask, what do you mean by that?
Well, you knew context. Casey was your dad, but how old were you when you found out that Casey wasn't your biological dad?
I was young.
Yeah.
I was definitely young. And I want to say maybe I was like 6, 7 pushing it.
I didn't think you, I was almost positive you was in middle school. I remember we was in Roy and I feel like we was in the hallway. He's in the hallway. I went from the garage to the kitchen. That's what I had thought, but I don't know. My memories, I did a lot of things.
Cause this is such a, like, I mean, I look at it and it makes me emotional thinking about it, you know, because it's so just most beautiful thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And yeah, I put myself in, you know, when I was talking to Casey about this years ago, it's like putting myself in his shoes and, you know, I would say nervous, you know, a little bit nervous, you know, there's nothing you can do about it, but it's just kind of one of those things where it's like, you know, it's time.
Yeah. You know, her grandma Maxine was always great about sending, Christmas cards and stuff like that. But where her biological dad, you know, he was never in the picture. you know, his mom still sent cards. And so I'm not sure when we actually started giving those to you. I just remember him reaching out to Sheila and all but going ballistic because it was my daughter time, and I'm immature at this time too. And still am immature, but I'm a little more mature than I was. And I was just thinking, you know, who's this guy to think he can reach out after, you know, 10, 12 years. I think he was around 10 or 12. I don't know how long or exactly when that time was, but I remember him reaching out, man. And I couldn't handle that. I felt like some guy was trying to take my little girl at that moment in time. And then after I'd calmed down, cause it was instant rage, and I'd calmed down, and, you know, a couple months went by, and I ended up reaching back out to him. Reaching back out to him. And he just told me, he says, I'm not trying to take Shay. I'm not trying to do anything. He says, I just want to tell you, I appreciate who you are. I appreciate what you've done for her. Mm. And, you know, if you ever want to adopt her, if you ever want to, he says, you know, there'll be no fight from my end. He says, you know, just thank you. He was very, very thankful and kind on the phone. And so I had talked to him a couple other times, just, you know, feeding him updates of what's going on in her life. And, you know, he just tell me he appreciates it. You know, he, I don't know what kind of communication he has on his end, but our communication was really good. You know, the five times that we've talked.
Yeah.
That's huge for you to reach out to him. You know, we talk about leadership a lot, character right there. I mean, if you want to know the definition of character, I'll point to you right now. That's freaking awesome. Cause it's real too. Cause I mean, I felt the passion. I put myself in your shoes. Don't reach out to my daughter. What the hell are you doing? But then you're like, wait a minute, you know, think bigger, think big, Wow. That's a great story.
Right. But, anyway, so I had known that and we had talked about it, and I just remember her going, what? He's not my dad. And I was like, it was such a young, innocent, smart Alec,
but it's also the she knew. It's also the flow of the family. Okay, so to be real, right now, that is how it would flow in the family. That's how it would go down. Right. Even if she already knew, she would pull some fast one, like some sarcastic remark like that. That's how it would go.
Yeah, and that's what it was.
What did you want me to say?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you got to break the ice.
I want to really understand kind of, I mean, you've had a lot of time to process and think through, but how did you feel? What were you thinking?
You know, I really wasn't thinking when I got that almost Band-Aid ripped off at the time. Yeah. Mind you, I got fact checked on this as well. I was drinking a drink from Taco Bell. Yeah. This wasn't a slushie. It was a Taco Bell drink. We were in the car, actually, so I don't know where the hallway came from.
Anyways, yeah. it was like that.
It could have been because he's coming from there and or whatever.
I just was like, so he's not my dad. And I remember them scrambling like, no, he's your dad. It's just he's not biologically related to you. I'm like, what does that mean? Yeah. Like, yeah. What do you want me to say to this? Because I have no memory of him never being there. Like I have only memories of him being there. So the thought of him not being there for my first steps, my first words, anything that was like a really big deal for a young child like that, I was like, there's no way. That doesn't make sense. And it was almost like I just put it in the back of my head. Like it was like, no, that's not true. I don't have that memory. There's no facts behind this, or at least that I could see, right? Mm-hmm. So it just kind of sat in the back of my head. It just wasn't real to me because he's always been there. So how are you telling me he's not my dad? Mm-hmm. At least biologically, I mean.
So how did you work through it? And the reason why I'm asking you this question is because there are so many others that, you know, are blessed to have bonus parents. I mean, it's very common. So many kids don't realize how common it is and how common it is to have a bonus parent that could truly love you like that. Like they, for them, it's the same conversation going on for them of this whole biological conversation. Like it's not a real thing. Like it's no, these are my kids, you know?
It was honestly, I didn't handle it well. I'm not going to lie. I kind of just was like, that's not true. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to talk about it. It wasn't until probably when I got to middle school that it became more of a reality, I guess, in the aspect when people asked me, well, your dad, like you have to do projects about bloodlines or like biological stuff. And I'm like,
family trees.
Yeah. I'm like, well, I mean, I can, but it's not going to be completely accurate. So,
or it's not the normal.
Yeah, it's not the normal. And so when I would tell people that he's not biologically my dad, they're like, well, what does that mean? I'm like, he's not DNA related to me. And like, they would start asking me questions about your real dad. I'm like, he is my real dad. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And like,
he's been there.
And I'd get really defensive. Mm-hmm. And I probably said some things to some people that I would probably take back if I could now, but realistically I can't. And that it is.
Do you think it was important though that you went through that process?
Oh yeah.
To kind of unpack it and to compartmentalize it. And you know what I mean? To frame it for yourself. Was it important to go through that process?
Oh yeah. Cause I probably wouldn't have ever thought about it again. Yeah. And I'd have just ignored that entire fact completely.
And it would have kind of always been something that was there.
Mm-hmm. Cause he did ask me questions. He's like, do you want to know anything? And I'm like, no, because why? He left. You did it. Like you showed up and you stuck around for how long? So why should I care about this other person I have no real information about? And I've seen photos of him and Maxine and that environment that I was in previously before he came around. Cause my mom actually had a couple of photos from a birthday party. I don't know if it was for one of my cousins or if it was for me specifically, but you know, I never really gave it too much thought either.
It's because you were so fundamentally that you had a family foundation. You had a father foundation. You had this trust and this relationship was there. So that didn't get in the way. It just became something that you got to work through.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is this is your situation and this is your story, right? And we talk about in our training that everything has a meaning and we give it the meaning and you got to give this a meaning for yourself. And you don't have to answer what that meaning is. But the only reason I bring it up is because so many kids, they end up in, you know, grade school, you know, middle school, high school, and their parents split up and they end up with bonus parents or they end up, you know, families moving away and spreading out and all these things happen. And they don't know how to work through it. They don't know how to deal with it.
They have to talk about it.
Yep.
Because when I didn't, I spiraled a little bit mentally with it just because, again, you get so defensive in trying to protect what you know that anything outside of that, it's just the unknown, right? It's uncomfortable. Yeah. It doesn't feel okay. And so I would definitely tell people, like, you need to talk to your parents, whether it's your step parents or bonus parents, or really get down to why you feel the way you feel about this situation, or even what caused this situation. Cause some people think it's their fault that their parents divorced or their parents left them or whatever in that scenario. And you know, your parents can tell you it's not your fault, but internally you're always going to think, hey, this
could have been
me.
What's wrong with me?
Did you ever talk to your mom?
Initially, no. About any of it. Honestly, it took, like I said, it took a couple of years before I really sat down and kind of processed. Like,
was it with her first?
It was with her first. And then he always asked questions, but I kind of just blew it off a little bit because I was like, this is the parent that's always been there. I don't want him to ever think that I think of him any less because of the questions that I have.
I listen to you and I think that this piece of your story has really forged like the love that you have for each other and the love you have for, you know, your family. It's like forged this, like there's such a gratitude, I guess, or an appreciation for it that so many kids just don't get. Like they don't get the opportunity to go through some turmoil or something to experience something that helps them be this mature person that you are in awareness of your, yeah. of your family and your relationships.
Oh, that was a long time coming yeah. though. It wasn't like that initially, or it definitely took a couple of years for me to really process everything to even be able to say the things I say now for sure.
So you found yourself in a teen leadership breakthrough class and you were so excited to go.
No, I wasn't initially. Sorry.
How did you even go down to back up? What happened? Maybe start there.
Well, that was thanks to my lovely mother. And I'll say that now compared to all the things I thought initially when I got told, hey, you're going to this, whether you like it or not.
That was her words.
Oh, yeah. But mind you, she had every right, because
yeah.
the reason that she had me go to this was because I skipped out on a class assignment because I didn't want to talk in front of everybody.
Oh.
And it was a good 20% of my grade. So I went from probably having like an average B to like a C plus, like it definitely hurt my grade. And it bugged her so much that I didn't do that just because I didn't want to talk to in front of a whole class of people that I was with every day for a yeah. whole semester.
And
then he got stuck going with me.
Oh,
that was best weekend of my life.
Oh yeah.
So walk me through this a little bit. So where did you start? You started.
It's a quick story.
Yeah.
Bus. Tell them the story.
You went on Casey. A bus somewhere. Or?
How'd you find yourself in a classroom, buddy?
You know, I'm not really sure.
Cause it was a whirlwind.
So I was probably at Blue Sky. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We was probably at Blue Sky and Brett approached me and he's like, hey, got this, LB1 class, you know, leadership class might be good for you. And you're interested in going. And I'd heard others talk about it. And I'm like, yeah, you know, yeah, let's do that. And I don't remember how Shay got into that. And it was Brett's idea. Without a doubt. So, but, I don't know. We just hung out with our backpacks and jumped on a bus and new adventure.
Off to Daniel's Summit. You went. Yeah. I mean, it's like, I know you're not fond of your dad, but like Casey's easy to fall in love with. He's just that guy that's so easy to fall in love with. He's the guy that you don't have to talk to him for, you know, a month and then you don't miss a beat talking to him. But, you know, working with people and working for people, it's pretty easy to fall in love with some people. And your dad's one of them, which is definitely how he found himself in a class with you.
Yeah.
Which is where we met.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You never met Brett before?
No.
Oh, okay, good.
Seriously, no warning. And he didn't tell me either who my teacher was, nothing. I really went to this with no idea what was going to happen to me. I didn't even know he was initially going until he was packing our bags to go.
That's another way.
And
that's another
way he rolls. We're going together?
Yeah, and my mom explained it saying like, this will help because at least you know he's there. And I'm like, okay, I can get on board with that because at least I'm not completely by myself. So if I got to run out of here, I can find somebody.
Yeah.
Whether he makes me go back to my room or not.
Yes.
At least I have somebody. Most people that go to these events, they're completely by themselves usually.
Yeah.
I just remember, I don't want to drag out anything about the class, but one of my fondest memories of that class was the second evening after class, and I walk out of the classroom and Casey's there waiting patiently for you to come out of class. That's what I remember. I remember you waiting there in the dining room right outside, just like waiting. It's like, are they almost done? Is she coming out? I just really need to see her.
Yeah. It was a good time.
Yeah,
it was.
He's parked it right there in the back.
was there tears?
Which part, I guess?
well, really, it's like we want to focus on what did you learn about yourself, for yourself? What was a big takeaway for you from going?
Well, initially that you can yell really loud.
Project.
Yeah, you projected very well. Scared the crap out of my whole team immediately because some girl decided to show up, I want to say 2 minutes late
Oh.
First initial meeting, everybody's in line, we're all good to go, and then you just see this girl casually walk out, and I was like, oh no. And then we really found out what was about to happen.
Punctuality, yeah.
Oh yeah.
So you guys were there for, 48 hours each, but what did you walk away with? What was your awareness, your focus, anything that comes to mind that you could, share?
To quit giving a crap about what people think about you, because it really doesn't matter.
Yeah,
man.
You can do all sorts of things and everybody's going to judge you. Nobody's never going to stop judging you, but why let somebody's opinion of you control you to the point that you won't strive to do anything?
Mm-hmm.
To do your best.
Like stand up in front of your class and speak.
Oh yeah. That was mine for sure.
What about you, Casey?
I learned a lot. I learned a lot, it's a leadership training, but I would have to say what I gained most is my home life, my family life. I always knew that, your family life affected your work, but I didn't understand until LB1. I got one of the coolest stories. Right when we'd got, I can't even talk about it.
Yeah.
So right when we'd got home, I grabbed Aiden and we went grocery shopping or we didn't go grocery shopping. We went mom and we made this list. We made this list of things that, we needed to grab. And you know how your kids all, bugging you at the time, like, hey, can I get this? Hey, can I get that? Hey, I want this, I want that, especially at his age. I mean, he was probably 6 at the time. And so we made this list and so I just let him push the cart around and I just followed him. And I'm like, what's next on the list? And he's like, get your phone. And I'd show him the phone and dude, he'd walk me to the bread. He'd walk me to the milk. He'd walk me to the cheese. And what was crazy about it is I'll bet you 9 different people in the store that day said, this has got to be the cutest thing I've ever seen. And that's not what I was going for. I was just going for, I spend my life holding these people I care about back because it's just quicker for me to do it. It's, get out of the way, I'll get it. Mm-hmm. And it's the worst thing you can do. And so I think back on that story I got another good one with Shay and brake pads. and I'll tell you what, it tests your patience from time to time, but I felt another, and anyways, we got through that day and then this was, call it a year later, whatever. She had her car and she needed brake pads. I said, well, go get some brake pads. She's like, well, how do I do it? I'm like, well, probably go to the auto parts store and tell them what year your car is and what you need and they'll get them for you. And so she ended up getting brake pads and got back to the house and she ended up getting her brake pads. And so we sat on the front quarter panel of her car for, dude, it had to be an hour. Hour and a half, maybe even 2. Dude, just changing this brake pad. And I was just letting her do it. I'm like, I just giving her direction and I was also wanting to teach the lesson of it doesn't need to be all gas, all brake. You can conserve these by not accelerating when you're getting off the freeway. You can just coast,
You don't have to warp this system on the vehicle. You can slow down.
And she's like, Dad, you're going out with friends or somebody. I can't remember, but you had to leave within like 15 minutes. And so she's like, can I go shower? Can you do the other side? Well, anyways, ended up doing the other 3 before she even got done showering and coming outside and back on ready to go. And she's like, did you get the other side? And I'm like, I got them all done. She's like, it's only been 15, 20 minutes. I'm like, yeah, that's how long it's supposed to take. That's
how long it really takes. But, we were in a coaching session.
Right. And so I would have to say those are probably the biggest things that I gathered from LB1 was you sit and hold yourself back. You sit and hold everybody around you back by doing everything just because it's faster in the long run. In the long run, everybody gets smarter and everybody gets a lot more done. It's probably one of the biggest things I picked up from LB1.
So you got to go to Eagle Quest after.
Yeah, I did. That one I liked because it was outside actually a little bit more than the first one. Sorry.
No, nothing to be sorry about. Agree. Yeah.
don't get me wrong, I loved everything that happened, but there was a couple times where I started staring outside. I'm like, can I please just go outside?
that's every teen. What was your warrior name?
Friendly Wolf was my Eagle Quest name.
Yeah.
What did you learn?
Fellow wolves.
That one was more about just inner demons, inner thoughts, inner
stories you tell yourself.
Yeah.
Vultures.
Pretty much.
Vultures, yeah.
It's basically all the self-doubt constantly. You are your biggest critic, and you don't realize how bad it actually is until I experienced all that and came out on the other end. And I was like, wow, I'm really bad.
So what did you do with that information?
A lot.
Yeah. Even now I would say, like, I'm in college. I'm going to graduate with my bachelor's this coming December. And a lot of my vultures am I doing the right thing? Am I going into the right career? Is this going to actually work out for myself? And when I catch myself doing that to myself, I have to sit there and just be like, it's okay. If I fail, I fail. It's okay. There's always a plan B. There's always a plan C. There's always a plan D. I will figure it out at the end of the day. There's no given reason why I shouldn't. So if plan A doesn't work, okay, let's move on.
I want Casey to chime in for just a minute, because this part of the story, man, has been something to, you know, we've talked a lot about. We've talked a lot about, because it's gone fast.
Right. You know,
from her, you know, scholarships and soccer and academics, and you just keep going, I don't know how she does it, but she's doing it, and you're so proud. So
right. You know, how old was you when I adopted you? When you asked me to adopt you for my birthday.
I thought that was a great gift. Thank you.
Awesome. It's been the best gift I've ever got for my birthday.
You know, I thought I was going to get some emotional response, by the way, and I got absolutely nothing except, okay.
He's kind of one of those that cries in his closet. Like,
okay.
Yeah. He's a closet crier. Yeah.
Definitely thought I was going to get a little bit more of an emotional response, but hey.
Yeah, no, I probably should have been more emotional than I was, but I don't know. She's already mine. You know what I mean? She was already my daughter, but I'll tell you, I can't tell you how proud, just, you know, on the soccer field, you know, I learned with women that, you know, cause I coached her for a little bit. And, I learned with young girls that they don't respond like boys do. You know, I was raised, you know, negativity.
You don't say.
Yeah, negativity was what pushed me to get better, where young girls, you know, more positive, more positive things you do, you get more out of them. But anyways, throughout soccer, you know, she played a lot of competition soccer. Our family vacations were planned around her soccer. That's what we did for family vacations. You know, she went to Fremont, played really well, played with the varsity team there, and then moved on to college up in Washington,
which was an adventure.
Right, and I'll let you talk about that.
Yeah.
Hey, that was that was just an 18-year-old by herself for 2 years.
Yeah, and I think about that, and I go, and you had so many more tools in your toolbox than your dad.
Without a doubt.
And I say that because I love him. I'm just saying that, like, you definitely had a more polished, refined toolbox when you went off to college than when your dad decided he was going to go out on this adventure of, you know, figuring out how to be a man.
I'm still working on it.
Yeah.
I'm still working. We're getting there.
Touché.
Same. We're getting there.
No, that experience was probably, I would never do anything different than moving 12 hours away and figuring all that out on by myself. Because don't get me wrong, if things happen, I can call them, but they're 12 hours. You still
support.
Yeah.
You're just off, yeah.
But they're still 12 hours away. They can't do much from all the way out there. Like when my friend at the time fried my car because he needed to jump it, that was a fun experience. So
that went over really well.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
I remember calling him the next day being like, hey, so I may have done something. I needed a jump. This guy tried to help me. It didn't end well. And it was so funny because I don't even think he said anything. I think he just quietly sat there waiting for me to continue to explain myself. Because why do you need to jump your car, right? What did you do? Did you leave it on? Did you do something? I'm like, no, I didn't do anything. I don't like, know
if I just let her talk long enough, we're going to figure this out.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm like, I didn't do anything. Come to find out, the jump pack that he was using, or the cables, they were cross-wired, so they were wired incorrectly. So it really wasn't even his fault, because I was so mad at this guy. I was like, I don't want anything to do with you, dude. Like, I don't want to help you. I don't want to talk to you. Just go away. But come to find out, it was actually just an inconvenience. But luckily, I had people out there, too, my coach, who did help me, like, get the, what is it, to test the wires? There's, like, a little testing tool thing that you can use.
That's what it is.
Testing tool.
Yeah, testing tool. To check your electrical stuff. So he at least gave me that. And like, I just had to figure all this out. Fuse box, where the fuse box was, inside my car, outside my car, testing every single one of those things.
Wow.
So I could find the right fuses that I needed to switch out.
And you did it.
And guys just did this stuff on their own. They didn't even have a problem. Guys did this stuff. But you know, this is fun to listen.
Plan B.
Yeah.
And it was so funny because we didn't know anything was wrong with it because I could turn it on. I could drive around. It wasn't until like I tried to turn on my radio or my AC that I was like, oh, there's something wrong.
Wow.
and your dad's like, man, that sucks. sure, you'll figure it out.
Pretty much. Because what is he going to say? Again, 12 hours away.
Exactly. You better get walking.
There was two dads involved here that talked back and forth.
Yeah.
Why these guys were working on figuring this out.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, it was a mess. I also remember it was 3 a.m. We were out driving around. By the way, we didn't work. We just played soccer, did school. That was kind of our job.
I love these stories after the fact. I love these after the fact stories. These are good stories.
And it's pouring rain because it's Washington. It rains all the time. But this night, it was just coming down a little bit harder than usual. Well, all of a sudden, my windshield wiper just flies off my car. We had to stop. Luckily, this is like a old folks town. There's not very many people here. So I literally stopped my car, got out in the middle of the road, found my windshield wiper, drove to some store that's closed, and had to take a little hair tie, use in my hair, and tie it to my windshield wiper to make sure
it worked.
For days. I didn't go buy a new windshield
wiper.
You
should call MacGyver.
You should patent that. There's $1 million idea. Don't anybody steal that.
I mean, really what I wanted to point out was just like, you've obviously seen a big shift.
Right,
Shane, it's like continues to make you proud, continues to inspire you. I know that everything that she's done has continued to drive you.
Oh yeah.
You've just keep doubling down. It's like, no, there's more. I'm not settling. I have more. There's more to do. There's more to experience. There's more to learn. There's more to create and build and all those things.
Yeah. I've been telling her it, she's following the psychology field, which is brutal because you get judged.
Yeah.
You get judged a lot by your kids and they tell you what kind of parents you are. And
it's awesome.
Yeah. But
that's why you just got to be straight up with them.
Yeah.
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 It's like, look, I'm an open book. Good luck with your mom.
Yeah. But you know, she wants to start something. I'm all in. I'll jump in wherever and fill in wherever. And
that's awesome. Let her,
you know, whatever it takes to build whatever dream she's got.
You know, this last question JJ asks is pretty cool because it's already been that many years.
Yeah.
You know, it's go ahead and ask the question because it's just like you guys turn around and look backwards and a lot's happened in a short amount of time. So looking forward, it gets to be fun.
Yeah. So looking forward and it's for both of you. And there's two questions. Brett asked, you know, the final one, but my question is, you know, where are you in 5 years? You know, and then if you could leave, say one thing to each other, what would it be? So there's two questions there. And what would you leave with the other person if you never saw them again? What would you leave with them? I don't think you say that, but I added that, Brett.
No.
So where do I think I'll be in five years?
Where will you be? Not where you think you'll be. You know you'll be there. There's a big difference.
In 5 years, I will be graduated with my master's degree in psychology and mental health clinicals. I will be starting my own practice or at least internship.
So let me stop you right there. The audience, you don't get this. And I argue with people that I work with every single day. She never used the word T-R-Y.
Yeah.
She didn't say should. She didn't say, well, maybe. She said, I will continue.
After that, I will be having my own personal residence instead of living with my parents. Because I think they'll probably kick me out by then, realistically.
You ain't got to worry about that.
Yeah.
Things are easy.
Yeah.
Even though
you're being supported.
Yeah.
All in due time.
Tear it up.
All in due time.
Move out whenever you want. Yeah. I don't care.
Daddy needs a new gun room.
Yeah. That's right.
And that's all I want.
Yeah.
I love it. Now, the final question for you. If you could leave something for your dad, a final thought, what would it be? If you never, and you never get to see him again, just make it that real. You want to tell him something. What would it be?
Just that I love you and I'm grateful for everything you've brought into my life. Even the consequences you've had to show me through my own actions, everything.
And you have to tell everyone listening what's on that bracelet that you showed us while she was talking before, because that only adds to what she just said.
So 2 years ago, Shaylee got me a copper bracelet for Christmas, and, I carry it with me in my lunchbox the majority of the time, just because jewelry and me, construction,
don't get along.
Doesn't always work out. But anyway, she had these awesome mountains and and she knows that my passion is elk hunting, and she just knows
she knows you.
It's a drug for me, and it's got these pine trees, these elk, bull elk on it, and then on the inside, she had it say, "Thank you for being." Jesus. Thank you for being the dad that you didn't have to be. And anyways, I was just showing these guys that just cause it's, you know, Shaylee's God, she's one of my biggest accomplishments, man. I can't tell you how proud I am of her, what she's become.
So tell her.
She already knows. I don't need to. Yeah. She knows. Yeah. I tell her. Uh-huh. Don't think that I don't tell her, because I tell her. She knows. She knows that she's that you truly are. I mean, you truly are like probably the biggest accomplishment that I have in my life. And you know, your mom's there too, but without a doubt, I mean, kids are freaking awesome. So
Casey, where are you going to be in 5 years?
Oh hell.
Not there.
Yeah, definitely not. I'm working on some stuff that I don't want to talk about on the podcast.
Yeah.
But you're going
to
do it.
I'm moving in directions, to set ourselves up for a better future.
Yeah.
Nice.
So
I like to hear that,
but I'll tell you what I do. I do love the career that I'm in right now and the job that I have right now. And you know, just
good spot right now.
Right.
Good job.
I'm really, really, really good place right now. So, but like future's going to look bright. So
sweet. That's all.
Respect, integrity, passion, personal power, leadership, enthusiasm. This has been the Empowering Youth Podcast from Building Utah Youth. To become part of the 3%, visit Building Utah Youth on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, or on our website at buildingutahyouth.org.